Jackson Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump is championing a new tariff agreement with the nation's fifth largest trading partner.
I just signed the largest trade deal in history. I think maybe the largest deal in history with Japan.
It calls for a 15% tariff on Japanese imports to the U.S. That's down from the 25% rate set to kick in August 1st. Last year, Japan exported about $148 billion worth of cars, electronics, and chemicals to the U.S. Calls for the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files will not be answered or silenced until September. CBS's Jared Hill.
Question is on the motion to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is sending lawmakers home early for summer break rather than dealing with a bipartisan push to force a vote on releasing more files on Jeffrey Epstein.
What we refuse to do is participate in another one of the Democrats' political games.
But Republicans like Kentucky's Thomas Massey are also leading the charge.
It would behoove the Speaker to bring this to the floor. Just vote this out.
Meantime, the Justice Department says it's re-interviewing Epstein's girlfriend and convicted accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, correspondent Nancy Cordes.
We don't know a lot about when and where this interview will take place, though her lawyer said publicly that she's open to it.
Maxwell serving 20 years. Prosecutors in New York say they've uncovered a bomb plot involving a Long Island man accused of leaving homemade explosive devices around the city. CBS's Anna Schechter.
He stored at least five of them and shotgun shells on adjoining rooftops of residential apartment buildings in Lower Manhattan.
Officials say he made the bombs last month using chemicals he bought online. The man who pleaded guilty to murdering four University of Idaho students learns his fate today. CBS's Amanda Arden.
We're back in Boise for sentencing now, and this comes after Brian Koberger pleaded guilty. He reached a plea deal with the victim's families and the prosecution earlier this month. And in that plea deal, he pleaded guilty to all counts he was charged with, four counts of first-degree murder, one count of felony burglary. He can be and is expected to be sentenced to up to four consecutive life sentences.
Black Sabbath fans remembering the Prince of Darkness. Ozzy Osbourne, the godfather of heavy metal, died yesterday at the age of 76. Rolling Stone's Anthony DeCurtis.
Black Sabbath defined a sound and a style that goes on to this day. Ozzy was driving that.
Dow futures up 190. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baseball in Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their series today with the Mariners. Milwaukee losing last night 1-0, ending their 11-game winning streak. Pat Murphy pulled Jacob Mizoranski out in the fourth inning, even though he had a shutout going.
You can't give him that big of a rest and then let him go out there and have his normal start.
NBA, when Damian Lillard was traded to the Bucks 2 years ago, his wife filed for divorce, his three children remained in Portland. Lillard signed a deal over the weekend to return to the Trailblazers.
I didn't say nothing to him about it until Saturday when I actually signed and they were with me. We got back in the car to go home. I got to a red light and I just turned around and my daughter was looking at me and I told her and she was like, wait, so like we don't have to get on the airplane to Milwaukee no more? I was like, yeah, y'all don't got to get on the plane no more. And she was like, so you're going to be at your house in Portland the whole time? I was like, yeah. And she was like, what? Like she was.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be hot and humid with scattered thunderstorms likely today, and a couple of those storms could be strong to severe later this afternoon into this evening. The heat index today, also going to be an issue, close to 100 or better by later this afternoon. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and cooler, high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, I'll be in Madison, and we'll talk about how declining enrollment in Wisconsin schools is exacerbated by state aid that doesn't keep up with inflation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat.
You're
Kreitler.
Listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. I've only done that a couple of times, and there.
If you can say edible undies, you can say panties.
We're no unsatisfied customers. They're delicious. We're going to talk about a snack Ben just shared with me. But first, I'm going to give you a quick recap, folks. Our question of the night is, what poster was on your bedroom wall when you were growing up? We got to catch up on some texts. We'll do that in a bit. Kristen Lighty will be here at 7:20 talking about GBUFO, this really funky, cool festival they have in Green Bay. And Conrad and I were doing the show last year at this time, and we saw all these people in alien dressed as aliens walking by the studio, and it was pretty insane. But it's a music festival. They do some comedy, and Kristen is very involved in this year's festivities. So we'll talk to Kristen at 7:20. And what else, Conrad? What am I missing? Does that cover everything?
Well, we did have some good posters, you know?
We did have some good posters. I got to play catch up on some of those texts. Should we bang a couple of those out?
Do it.
Let's. All right, Ben, what did you say your poster was?
Rocky.
All right. Oh, yeah, Rocky.
I also had, I don't know if you guys are hip to Peter Gabriel.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, he had that third album that had like the melty.
Yeah.
Face. I had a poster of that for some reason.
Oh, that's a cool poster. You know, I had a poster when I was in college of the Bodines. And
yeah, and their melty face.
They, no, but it was like a kind of a blurry poster, and they were on a breakwater in Lake Michigan. It was overcast and the wind was blowing and they were playing. It was one of the coolest posters I've ever seen. So I guess I did have some posters in college, but I've graduated. Conrad has a sports museum in his bedroom as an adult, yes, which I think is fun.
You know, it's all that stuff's going to the man cave when I get a house. So
you got it tucked away just for the man cave.
Exactly.
Everett in Sun Prairie says Led Zeppelin Houses of the Holy album cover blacklight poster mid-90s still up. And did I read that text already?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But then we had it seems like eight people have mentioned blacklights tonight. So maybe that's why I'm confused. He says mid-90s still up in my basement. Fantastic, Everett. Thank you, buddy. We missed a call from Ollie. I see, Con. That's terrible. Love Ollie. MT from Monona, the Grove, he or they are in the 608. Wall posters when I was a kid included Metallica's Black Album, Tupac, and Terminator 2 movie poster. Well, that's some serious poster firepower. Were you a fan of Metallica, Ben?
Not really, no.
Yeah. You know what? I've kind of become more of a fan as I've gotten older and as they've gotten older. They just seem like cool guys.
They do seem like
cool guys. I never really listened to them, though, back in the day. I know that.
Pete, we actually got Ollie on the phone right now.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yes.
Okay, put Ollie through.
Hi.
Hi, Ollie. How are you?
I'm doing
Say hi
good.
To Ben Reiser.
Hey, Ollie.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's going on?
We weren't allowed to have posters of rock stars or anybody on our thing. We had to have pendants of all the tourist traps and states my parents took us to.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's kind of cool. That's something different.
It was, and we enjoyed them. But I wanted to say also, you talked about Richard Farnsworth. He played in Anne of Green Gables, and he was the older gentleman, brother of the lady that took Anne in. It was he was wonderful in that movie.
He's great. He's got like so much soul or heart in every line he says. He's fantastic. Thanks so much for the call, Ali. Much appreciated.
Okay,
have a great night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So I could not agree more. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, says, my poster on the wall growing up was Aunt B from the Andy Griffith Show. That's great. he's joking. He says, just joking. Posters on my bedroom wall were the now famous Farrah Fawcett poster, I'm with you, Steve, and the 1966 Green Bay Packers Super Bowl I team poster. All right, that's some pretty good poster firepower. We'll continue with your text. Let us know. Be part of the fun, folks. You can text us on the stream or the app or the text line. Ben Reiser is here. We have a few more minutes with Ben. We were talking about Superman. So we're both kind of, it was fine.
I thought it was fine. I thought it did the job. I'm a big James Gunn fan. I really love those Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I really like that HBO show he did. What's it called with John Cena? Conrad, what is that?
Peacemaker?
Peacemaker. Love that show. I even liked the movie that he did for, I guess it's DC, right? His version of the Suicide Squad, which is a total bomb. Everyone hated it. I like it. So good for him. Good for James Gunn.
I think it's weird, though, when you bring those crazy elements to Superman that I don't know that they need it. And here's another thing. I love Wendell Pierce. And the sports reporter for the Daily Planet and the girl with the blonde hair, I don't think you needed any. Wendell Pierce had, like, five lines.
I do feel like there's a whole other movie that was probably shot with those three. Like, when the Blu-ray comes out, there'll probably be, like, an hour and a half of footage of them. Because it really feels like Wendell Pierce, like, wound up mostly on the cutting room
floor. Probably. And that makes sense. Otherwise, why even
It
why
still
even
feels,
have
it's
movie?
Very overstuffed. It's chaotic. But I still would take it over those Zack Snyder Superman movies.
Yeah.
Which are just so solemn and boring and just so serious. All that Justice League crap. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Give me Crypto, the dog. And chaotic stuff with Nathan Fillion and all that other stuff. I'll take that over that Zack Snyder stuff.
That's the voice of Ben Reiser, folks. He is one of the programmers of UW Cinematheque and the Wisconsin Film Festival.
But I've loved almost every summer blockbuster I've seen this year. I don't know. Right. I'm really in sync with this year's offerings. F1, I thought, was a lot of fun.
Okay.
You didn't like that one either.
No, I kind of feel the same about F1 and Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
As I do about Superman, there's a lot that, like Jurassic Park, for example, CGI is great. There were some jumps in there but give me a character that is somewhat interesting. Like you've got Scarlett Johansson, not Idris Elba, Mahershala Ali. And I think I said this to Rob Thomas. I wanted like a guy from Jaws, the grizzled guy who had been fighting the dinosaurs for 30 years, something interesting, not these characters with these lame backstories, because the dinosaurs are great.
Yeah.
And I felt that way about Formula One. I'm kind of the same on all these movies. Like there were really cool moments. The racing scenes were cool, but it was basically a video. It didn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. You have valid points there. Right. I didn't care. I didn't go to any of those movies thinking there were any characters I'd enjoy. And I was happy that I had a dog I liked. In Jurassic World, I liked that little girl. I thought she was funny. And she named her dinosaur Dolores, which cracked me up.
And speaking of Jaws, I did with my kids when they were home. I watched that again. And Ben, I probably haven't watched that in 25 years.
How is that not an every year experience?
I know it should be. I was surprised. It was different than I remembered it. Like, I forgot how quickly they got into the story. I mean, obviously with the girl at first, but then right away, it's pandemonium. And it was just it's a really excellent movie.
Forget everything. Forget all the Jaws stuff in Jaws. That first, after the first sequence, all that stuff that takes place in Amity, all the stuff of Roy Scheider running around, grabbing the paints and the posters, taking that ferry out to the thing, all that stuff. Paints such an amazing, it's such a great world building thing. All those supporting characters, the old guys, everyone yelling at Roy Scheider for one thing or another, his wife, his kids. It's so great. I mean, forget the whole thriller part of it. Just kind of a wonderful, like, hey, this is life in a small town.
And they, and you know, I was amazed too that they didn't overdo it with the shark. Like there was just enough of the shark.
But they couldn't get it to work.
They couldn't get it to work. But even when they, like, it still looks great. It, you know, 50 years later, it's like, okay, I believe that. Yeah. Even
give me that over CGI. Give me a rubber shark over CGI.
Definitely. Well, let's get to a couple of, I have to ask you, I saw this, James Ronde was on recently and he told me, he said, you're kind of into film noir. And I said, yeah, I'm on a, I was on a film noir kick at the time.
Yeah.
He told me about a movie called Detour, which I had never seen.
Oh yeah.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
I, it was so good. In the end, the way everything came together.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't more people watch film noirs?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of them out there and there's a devoted following. I have the Criterion channel because, you know, I'm one of those hipsters and I've been catching up. There's a bunch of, all I do on the Criterion channel is find out what's leaving at the end of the month and just try to watch as many of those as I can. Good. And this month, at the end of the month, all these Argentinian film noirs are leaving. There's like 5 or 10 of these movies that were made in Argentina in the 50s. They're so great, so amazingly directed, wonderfully acted, brilliant plots. There's one called The Beast Must Die. There's one called If I Should Die Before I Wake. So great. But yeah, Detour, Edgar Ulmer, who also directed this crazy movie with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi called The Black Cat. He was a great B-movie director who unfortunately didn't make as many movies or have as big a budget as he probably should have. But he made the most with the least. Detour is like, every shot in that movie is like, wow, this is a really cool shot.
Yeah. That diner, the first couple minutes of the movie, I love them. I'm such a sucker for a movie with a great diner at night.
Mm-hmm.
Even in a small town, it's open and weird characters come in there. It's just like a place you could lose yourself in. And the aesthetics, almost 100 years later, and some of these are fantastic, you know? And The Killing I just watched too, and that
also
had
a late night diner.
Yeah. With, I just pulled it up, Sterling. He was, Sterling Hayden. I know him from Captain McCluskey.
Yes.
The Godfather. like, bugging me. Let's get a couple TV things in here before you leave too, Ben. White Lotus season 3, thoughts?
Terrible.
Really?
I hate it. I didn't like season 2 either. I'm a season 1 and done for White Lotus.
I love season 1. It's still my favorite, easily. But I like all, I just like Mike White, you know.
I love Mike White. This is my least favorite thing of his as it progresses. But, you know, Walton Goggins, I'll watch him in anything. So it's not like it didn't have its pleasurable moments. But for the most part, I was like, why am I watching these people? I don't care.
Right? They're all just rich jerks and most of the time. What about Department Q? We both watched that.
I did not.
Oh, I thought you saw Department
Q. I can't
Q.
wait.
Okay.
That's on my list of things I have to get to.
All right, we'll have to talk about that next time you're here.
Did we talk about The Diplomat?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched the first season, and I
said, you have to watch the second season.
It's better.
There's 2 seasons. Yeah, it's even better.
All right, I'll go back to that. I did like it. I don't know why.
Because there's season 3 coming up.
I started a show on HBO called Love and Death with Jesse Plemons and Ashley Olsen.
Oh, I don't even know that.
It's about these two church-going couples in the 70s that have an affair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the music that they're playing, like, they're giving each other eyes and, like, the Bee Gees are playing. Like, it's a really cool. And I'll go back to that, too. I'm great at watching one episode of something just to see if it resonates.
Well, I'm really enjoying, speaking of shows where you don't have to watch the whole thing, is Poker Face.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a Peacock. Few of those, Those are great. And they're all, like, standalone, like, old Columbo episodes.
But does it bother you at all? Like, I do like the show.
Yeah.
But she just happens to end up in a caper every week, wherever she goes. I have trouble with that a little bit.
I hear you. I think season two to me feels more like, did you ever watch that show High Maintenance on HBO?
No.
About the guy who sells drugs in Brooklyn?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to check that out.
All right.
Every episode's like a short story, you know, and the guy just sort of drifts in and out of those stories. And that's kind of what happens on Poker Face too. It's like you get like a nice standalone story with characters you're never going to see again. And then she kind of wanders in, solves the mystery, which is the least interesting part of it.
Right.
Wanders off. But
it is cool. It has like a Better Call Saul. I like the way they kind of start each episode. It's really cool. Ben, thank you, buddy. Thanks for filling in short notice.
Oh,
you're the lefty
pleasure.
Out of the bullpen, man.
Hey,
this
I
is
can
huge.
Walk to this studio. Let's do it here all the time.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Ben Reiser, ladies and gentlemen, check out Cinematheque and look for more news coming from the Wisconsin Film Festival, which is right around the corner.
Oh, let's
be honest.
Yeah. Thanks,
right.
Pete. Thanks, Conrad.
You got it. Kristen Leidy's coming up next. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, we can't read a face. Deep cuts, goes, and some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Coming to you live from beautiful downtown Madison, overlooking State Street on a gorgeous summer night here in our state's capital. Conrad holding down the fort back in Green Bay. Conrad's dad had a poster of Aunt B up in his bedroom. I found that very humorous, Conrad.
That, I find something new about my dad every time he texts in.
Something you don't need to know, really, too. Monica from Mount Horeb, she's in the 608, says, Cincinnati chili. Chili with spaghetti is a thing there. Skyline is known for quantity over quality, I think. But we were there last year and ate at Camp Washington Chili. It's a diner that's been there over 75 years, and it was cheesy and delicious. Just went to North Dakota 2 weeks ago. Your comment is spot on, but you could say Theodore Roosevelt National Park. We saw a whole herd of bison there. I would think more people would think of Fargo for the wood chipper incident in the movie. Yes, that is what they should have said for North Dakota. Fargo, the movie. But they went with nothing. It makes them think of nothing when they think of North Dakota. David from Richland Center says he had Charlie's Angels on his bedroom wall, a poster. David's in the 608. Thank you, buddy. Tom from New Berlin says, if vinyl album covers count, I had Led Zeppelin, or I had Zeppelin, Floyd, etc., mid to late 70s groups. Fawcett rocked. Dads loved it. Oh, what does that mean? Your dad's coming in and perving on your posters? Great stuff, Tom, as always. All right. This is exciting, folks. We were supposed to have my next guest in studio, but we did a little switcheroo at the last minute here. Pardon me. And I ended up doing the show from Madison this week. So we still wanted to have her on. She was still gracious enough to share her talents with us tonight and her time. She's a very funny comedian based out of Green Bay. We've had her on the show many times before, and she's one of our faves. Kristen Lighty joins me now over the stream. Hey, Kristen.
Hello. Welcome to my house. Hi.
Do you have any posters on your wall?
You know, I have a framed photograph of the old Fort Howard Mill and a bunch of comedy posters.
Oh, okay. No Hasselhoff or Sean Cassidy or anything like that?
No, I'm not big on the heartthrobs, I guess.
Unless your heartthrob is Heritage Hill or whatever you just said there. That's a good... Who are your comedy posters, Kristen? Who are your...
They're mainly shows I've been in and festivals I've participated in and places, shows where I had a really good time. So I'll save the poster and kind of frame it for sentimental reasons.
That's excellent. Let's start there because you just opened for someone... You know, a comedy legend at a local club there in the Fox Valley. Tell us about Bobcat Goldthwait. How was that week?
It was amazing. Bobcat is one of the nicest, most down-to-earth, thoughtful people I've ever met in comedy. So I always really try to make a priority to get to work with him. But, you know, I know a lot of people want to. So,
yeah.
But it's just, it's so amazing to get to work with people that you want to sit and watch every night.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll notice all the differences, all the nuance, the way he'll interact with the crowd a little differently each night. It feels really lucky to be there.
How is he doing these days? Like he's still working, which is great. He's so funny. He's such a talented guy. He's made movies. He's done walk-on roles. Where is he at? I don't know if you're friends with him or not, or if you get to talk to him, or what is your sense at least of, does he seem happy at this point in his career? Because I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, he seems really happy. He's got a great relationship with his daughter, who has done amazing things as well. She does a lot of costuming. She did the costuming on Bridget Everett's show and that movie, My Old Ass. And then Bobcat's working on a few different projects in terms, I think he mentioned like a new film and, you know, he reunited with a former love and got married and moved to Ireland. So he's very happy, I'd say.
So he lives in Ireland and he's coming to Northeast Wisconsin to do a club. Like I thought he would be like still at theater stage. You know what I mean? Like 1,000 seats, 500 seats or whatever. It's kind of cool that he's still working clubs. I bet he has a blast with it, you know?
He does. And I just feel really lucky that people do come to Appleton, you know, and we can see their acts.
Yeah.
You know, I think he comes for like a month or two at a time and does shows and then heads back home.
Okay. I tried to get him. I host a show on PBS Wisconsin called Director's Cut, and I tried to get Bobcat and Joel Murray on years ago because Bobcat made a film called God Bless America about gun violence, and it's so great. And I was like, we just couldn't work it out. Like the company that owned the rights to the movie weren't really willing to play ball, but I was literally salivating at the idea of getting to interview Bobcat because I thought he would have made such a great guest because he's just
funny and genuine. I think my takeaway from the weekend was I found it hilarious the way my father pushed me out of the way to get a photo with Bobcat.
Did he want you in the photo too?
Not at first. And then you know, one of my relatives said, we could all be in it. And my dad was like, oh, yeah, okay.
I guess if you insist, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into GBUFO after the news, but tell us first before we go to break, what else do you have coming up, Kristen? You're a very busy comedian. Where are you performing next or where can people see you?
Yeah. So besides the fest in August, I'm going to be doing a few shows with Brian Posehn in Minneapolis and Eau Claire, which I'm very excited about. And then I'll be featuring for him here in September at the Skyline Comedy Club.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then, you know, a few other local shows around town. And I'll be at the Blue Whale Comedy Fest in August in Tulsa opening for Hannibal Buress, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, he's so funny. Oh, wow. That's a great show.
Yeah. Well, I think big things.
They're lucky to have you on the show, too. You're so funny. And I love having you on the show. So when we come back after the news, we're going to talk to Kristen about this great festival in Green Bay that I still fully don't understand. So Kristen is going to fill us in, talk about what she's doing there, and tell us where you can find more information because it looks like an absolute blast. We'll do that, and we'll read your text when we come back. Stick around, folks. It's live, Nightlight, live from Madison. I'm Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Love, you feel joy, you feel pain, because nothing will be the same. Just another night is all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So, baby, I talk to you in the night, in your dream of love so true.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. and Japan have reached a trade agreement. The BBC's Shaima Khalil.
This deal comes after months of tense negotiations with Washington. In a letter to Japan earlier this month, President Trump had said Tokyo could face a levy of 25% on its goods if a deal was not struck by August 1st.
It'll be another day under the heat dome for much of the nation. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
I fear that heat-related illnesses are going to increase significantly during this particular heat outbreak, and it's a combination of the high heat and humidity not only during the day, but nighttime as well.
Heat index in Chicago could reach 103 today, 106 tomorrow. Tributes to the godfather of heavy metal.
So many artists attempted to recreate that sense of letting the cameras into your personal lives.
Rolling Stones' Anthony DeCurtis on the life and times of Black Sabbath's Ozzy Osbourne. He died yesterday at the age of 76. The CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Baseball in Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their series today with the Mariners. Milwaukee losing last night 1-0, ending their 11-game winning streak. Pat Murphy pulled Jacob Mizoranski out in the fourth inning, even though he had a shutout going.
You can't give him that big of a rest and then let him go out there and have his normal start.
NBA. When Damian Lillard was traded to the Bucks 2 years ago, his wife filed for divorce. His three children remained in Portland. Lillard signed a deal over the weekend to return to the Trailblazers.
I didn't say nothing to him about it until Saturday when I actually signed, and they were with me. We got back in the car to go home. I got to a red light and I just turned around and my daughter was looking at me and I told her, and she was like, wait, so like we don't have to get on an airplane to Milwaukee no more? I was like, yeah, y'all don't got to get on the plane no more. And she was like, so you're going to be at your house in Portland the whole time? I was like, yeah. And she was like, what? Like, she was...
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Okay, Sandler fans, buckle up. Happy Gilmore 2 is on the way, thrilling golf and comedy fans across the world. Adam Sandler recently told Collider there were serious rewrites of the script due to the passing of Carl Weathers, who played Chubbs Peterson, Gilmore's mentor in the first film in 1996. Weathers passed away last year from a heart attack, forcing the production of Gilmore to adapt. Sandler says there are many tributes to Chubbs in the second installment. Happy Gilmore 2 drops on Netflix Friday, July 25th. Sad news from the world of Ted Lasso, at least if you're a certain actor. Apple TV announced Monday that Jamie Tart will not be lacing them up for AFC Richmond. Actor Phil Dunster will not return in the role, at least not as the series regular. Deadline reports that the actor had already taken a role in a still-untitled HBO show with Steve Carell, creating a scheduling conflict. Season 4 of Lasso is currently filming in Kansas City. You heard that right, not in the UK. There is no release date announced yet for the new season. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be hot and humid with scattered thunderstorms likely today, and a couple of those storms could be strong to severe later this afternoon into this evening. The heat index today, also going to be an issue, close to 100 or better by later this afternoon. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and cooler, high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
I got two special guest hosts tomorrow, and they'll be talking with Pete Schwabo of Nightlight and Jim Santel of Amicus, a law review. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night as we broadcast live from downtown Madison. Conrad holding down the fort back in Green Bay. Our current guest, Kristen Leidy, was supposed to be in the studio, but I'm not there tonight. So I appreciate your flexibility. Kristen, thank you for joining us anyway over the stream. Great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Always fun. Tell us about GBUFO. Because I think I said earlier, last year, we saw everybody walking by the window dressed like aliens. And I thought it was like an alien fest or something. And then, or maybe that was a different festival, but this really has nothing to do with aliens. It's a music festival, right?
Yes. Okay. So it's named for our local record shop, which is the Green Bay UFO Museum and Gift Shop, which, you know, we have bands play there, comedy shows there, and you can get all your local music on vinyl there. So it's a festival that Tom Smith and Pierre Jacques and I put together.
Wow. Okay. So
I don't do they do the bulk of the work.
But you said you're curating a show there. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this will be the second year that I'm bringing comedians from my record label from all over the country in. We got folks from Austin, Chicago, Phoenix, Bloomington, Indiana, and they'll be doing probably a half hour, 45 minutes of comedy each day. And then so they'll get a taste of these comedians. And then Saturday night, I'm doing a standalone show at the Mad World Artist Collective, which is on Mason. And all the comedians in the fest will be able to do a longer set there. So if you like what you see, you can come to the longer show Saturday night.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like so much fun. So are there not people dressing like aliens? Did I have my festival? I'm thinking of Fringe Fest, I think. Does that make sense?
Fringe Fest is like a collection of different acts from all over the country. I think there might have been a Comic-Con happening at the Rush.
All right, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I just see aliens everywhere I look. Okay. So how did this festival start? It sounds like so much fun. I was looking at the Facebook page before and it just seems like great vibes, you know?
It is. It's, you know, just a celebration of all the bands in Wisconsin and the Midwest that make our scene so fun and exciting. We're going to have Holly and the Nice Lions playing Saturday night. Boris the Sprinkler is reuniting Friday night, and they're doing Saucer to Saturn, the full album. Giant's Chair is reuniting, and the Statics are flying in from Seattle. So, you know, some bigger names.
Wow.
Too.
Nice. So how did this start? How did the festival start?
Yeah, well, I think that is Tom's creation. Tom Smith, Time Bomb Tom. He's been running shows in Green Bay since, I believe, the 80s, I want to say. Like, he started the Concert Cafe shows, and that was like an institution for me as a teenager. I shudder to think who I'd be without punk rock in my life. and yeah, it was just kind of the scene grew, and everyone's kind of stayed in touch. And this is sort of a statement on that.
That's so cool. Why isn't there a comedy club in Green Bay, a full-time comedy club?
I don't know. I would like one as well. You know, we have Comedy City in De Pere. They do a lot of improv and some stand-up sometimes. And the Meyer has been booking more stand-up, which has really excited me. I don't know. I run pop-up shows called Don't Tell. And those are kind of like based on the premise, like the location is a surprise. And you can BYOB, which I think people love more than the comedy. But, you know. But those always sell out. So I feel like there is a market for comedy here.
Yeah, it's never like, I know Frank Herman's, he and his brother, when I was a stand-up in the 90s, I worked their club. It was right down on Washington Street, down the street from WGBW. But for whatever reason, and I think a Funny Bone came to town briefly, but that didn't make it. It just seems like there should be a club there. And I know that's easy for me to say that, but it seems like it could certainly sustain itself, I would think.
Yeah, because I feel like people from Green Bay don't go to Appleton, you know, so I don't think it would infringe on that skyline in Appleton.
Yeah. Well, we could put our heads together. I'm sure we'll think of something there.
Somebody pay me to open a club.
That's the voice of Kristen Lighty, a very funny comedian based in Green Bay. She joins us periodically here on Nightlight, and we're talking to her about Green Bay, the GB UFO Fest. Tell us about the venues. I was reading about the venues. They sound really cool.
Yeah, so Friday we're going to be at Badger State Brewery, which is amazing, phenomenal space. And they're always doing cool community events there, so it's awesome to partner with them. And then Saturday we're going to be at Riverside Ballroom, which is such an honor to be on that stage. Like, so many huge names have performed there. You know, I saw Fugazi there when I was 16. That absolutely blew my mind. So my punk rock teenage self is very excited about that. And then the later show I'm doing is sort of, it's a new venue. It's called the Mad World Artists Collaborative, and it's across the street from Happy Joe's on Mason. And it's so cool. They have local artists with all their work and wares on the wall, and they provide, they do a weekly open mic for folks. They do music shows. You know, the Uncanny Bazaar does a lot of the artwork there. So it's very like horror centric and fun. It's really unique, and it's, I hope it really takes off. It's a great place.
That's so cool. Here I see too, the key feature, Boris the Sprinkler, as you mentioned, performing Saucer to Saturn. That's another thing. Like, I'm like, there has to be a UFO motif here. I don't think I was that far off, like, with some of this. I just got confused.
It's like Fight Club. We just don't talk about it. It's
there. Right. GB, Green Bay UFO, takes place this coming weekend, folks, July 25th and 26th. Kristen Lighty's fingerprints are all over it. So check it out. And what do people need to do? Where can they go to find out more information? Is there a cover charge? How do they take the next step?
Yeah, so you can get a two-day pass to the GB UFO Fest, and you can, it's kind of fun because you're buying tickets in real life. There's no internet purchase for this. You can get them at GB UFO in Green Bay, Irving Place Records in Milwaukee, Mad City Music in Madison, and Eroding Winds in Appleton and Oshkosh. And if you want tickets to the late show on Saturday, 8 p.m. at the Mad World Artist Collective, you can just type in on Eventbrite, Mad World Artist Collective, and the tickets will come up.
That's so great. Kristen Lighty, we have a clip of your stand-up. Can we play this? Just a little teaser of what people might experience if they go see you at GB UFO. Here's Kristen Lighty doing comedy.
So yeah, sober dating. Wow. Ooh, I'm glad I got a boyfriend because that was rough. Yeah, I joined soberandsingle.com up in Green Bay, and it was just me.
Con, that's all we have?
Yes.
It's like 7 seconds of comedy.
You got the real thing right here. You know.
That's all right. We left him wanting more. That's so funny. And now you talk about that in your act. How long have you been sober?
Over 7 years now. So it was 7 years in January.
Good for you. It's two and a half years for me, and I don't know if I like it. I'm going to be honest. I don't, I just kind of quit on a whim, and I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kudos to you, though. That's impressive.
Congrats to you, too. I would say not waking up hungover is pretty great.
That was the big thing. Like, I never would drive really, like, but I would have a couple glasses of whiskey and play video poker at night and wake up and just be like, I can't do this every night. And then I just kind of tried it and I liked it. Now I'm here. I don't know if I'll quit forever, but that's impressive though. 7.5 years. Have you gotten funnier since you've been sober, or is it easier or harder to write jokes?
I think it's easier because you're more present and you feel more confident. And the reason I quit drinking is because it was just taking too much time out of my life. I was wasting too much time either getting drunk or being hungover. And, you know, I love my day job. I love doing comedy. And so, like, trying to, like, maintain two full-time careers, like, there was just no room for being hungover.
Right. Right. You still have things you want to do in your life. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm 80 and want to kick back and have a couple drinks, I'm not really missing out on the scene. But, you know, it's different when you're our age, you know. You just mentioned your day job. And we talked about this a little bit last time. Can I ask you about that again? Are there any new developments? You are the director of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Which gig is more work, stand-up or that?
I would say definitely being an organizing director is a bit more work. You know, comedy is my creative outlet. And, you know, working, I've done union work for nearly 20 years now. And my go-to line is no one ever calls us when they're having a great day. So, to bear witness to every bad thing that's happening to people and learning not to marinate in it took some time. But, you know, it's challenging in a good way. Like, I love that my work is something different every day. I'm always working with new, cool people. Yeah, I really love it.
And I'm asking this for purely personal reasons because my wife is a kindergarten teacher, but are teachers responding to the unions again? Because I was surprised back in, and I don't really get into these topics too often, but because it's close to home, I couldn't believe how many teachers were in favor of what happened 15 years ago. Like, this affects you. You know, it's crazy. That must have made someone like you crazy.
Yeah, I was just kind of starting. I was living in Chicago when Act 10 kind of crashed into the political scene here. Yeah. And it is disappointing how many people voted against their own self-interests and values. But I think now we're seeing the uptick in response to that. Like, new educators coming in are pumped about their union, even though there are some restrictions with the law. There's still a lot we can do in terms of collective action and turning out to meet the demands that are what students need and educators want. So I feel like it's an exciting time, but I could nerd out about that all day. So.
Well, my wife still pays her dues every month, and I'm proud of her for that. But I also, it is crazy when I remember people say, well, we've got to do our part. Like, you're being swindled. This isn't like, hey, here's some money that, you know, I mean, you only value yourself as much as you value yourself, you know.
Well, and essentially, like, with the savings they created, that last surplus we had on the budget was like $7 billion. And then they gave it back to citizens, and it turned out to be like $125 a month, which, take that from me. Fund schools, you know?
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. That's how I am, too. I'm always like, I like knowing, you know, nobody likes to pay high taxes, but I'm happy to know that teachers or firefighters or whatever, this is doing good. Parks, libraries. I know people have a mentality that it's just like, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, we need to lift each other up, not tear each other down. And just because someone else has good benefits doesn't mean we should all not have good benefits, you know?
Well, keep doing the great work you're doing, both in your day job and your nightclub job. They're both outstanding, and you're great, obviously, at both of them. So thank you for being on the show. And next time you're coming in to the studio, we'll do that again. It's always more fun when you're there in person.
All right, thanks for having me.
You got it. Anytime. Check out GBUFO. And check out Kristen Leidy. Follow her on her socials and go see her do stand-up, folks. She's very funny. All right, we're coming back. We're going to read your texts and wrap this thing up, and I will tell you who is on the show tomorrow. You don't want to miss that either, because I'll also be in Madison. Where are you going to be tomorrow night, Conrad?
In the same seat.
Okay. You wearing that same hat?
If the Brewers went tonight.
Fair weather.
Otherwise, I haven't been wearing it their streak, so if they lose tonight, I'm throwing it away.
Oh, you're one of those, I get it. All right, this is Peach Wabba and Nightlight. We're coming right back, and we're going to finish up with your texts. Don't miss that, folks. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's living for love, and I love her.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In May, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that individuals, in this case Native Americans, do not have a private right of action in voting rights cases. An emergency stay was granted July 22nd, and it's likely headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, the Spirit Lake Tribe, and individual Native voters negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts that didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. That decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the provisions of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. In actuality, since 1965, individuals brought 90% of VRA cases. May 14th, a three-judge panel affirmed that individual voters cannot bring VRA cases, but it applies only in the Eighth Circuit. July 15th, the tribes and individual Native voters asked for an emergency stay from Justice Brett Kavanaugh, pending a full U.S. Supreme Court appeal request. The stay was granted July 16th. On the one hand, decades of precedent allow individuals to bring such VRA cases, but this high court's conservative majority often ignores precedent and seeks ways to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You have
your club card. You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. When people think of Wisconsin, they think of cheese. According to Midwest versus Everyone's Twitter account. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Welcome back. We, Con, that was interesting because I do think as unexciting as North Dakota is, and I've been there several times back when I used to do stand-up, as I said, the people are really nice, and I always had a good time going there, but there is nothing like in the topography or anything that just makes it stand out. But I am surprised Fargo, because of the movie, that seems like it should replace nothing for North Dakota. I don't know.
I would say maybe also their college football teams. I feel like a lot of people will go crazy for them, North Dakota.
Yeah. But I mean, don't you think they do that anywhere? Like, well, I mean, if that's all you have going for you,
cause they
you know what I mean? Like,
they don't have a, you know, they don't have any pro anything.
They don't even have high school sports. That's what makes college such a... No, they're the Bison, right?
Yeah, the Bison, yeah. But they don't have any professional teams.
No, I know. They're probably all like Minnesota fans or something. But Kansas got a nothing. Illinois got Chicago. Michigan got Detroit. Indiana got race cars. Iowa got Caitlin Clark. Wisconsin got cheese. Minnesota got cold. South Dakota got Mount Rushmore. Nebraska got corn. Kansas got nothing. Missouri got nothing. That's harsh.
Yeah.
Because you mean, do think of the arch.
I think that maybe the author of this is Wisconsin, you know, kind of a Milwaukee Brewers fan because how much we hate the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, that could be. Because it's like Midwest versus everyone. Well, those are all Midwestern states. You should be.
I saw a lot of comments on that saying that they really don't think those two bottom states are really Midwest.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, Missouri could be the South, really.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish up some text here. Our question tonight was, what poster was on your bedroom wall when you were growing up? We've got some great responses tonight. Conrad's dad is a big fan of Aunt B. We covered that.
You're going to keep going back to that, aren't you?
I love that. Because I bought it. I'm like, oh my God, was there an Aunt B poster? Like, but why wouldn't there be? She was a wonderful person. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. He's in the 608. He says, my poster? How's Susan Day grab you? Hot partridge. If there's going to be a sexual innuendo tweet or response, it's going to be from Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids. From the 920, Elvis and Evel Knievel. And oddly enough, my guidance counselor high school was Evil's cousin. Hey, that's kind of a cool bit of trivia. Pardon me. From the 920, Annie says, Bobby Sherman was much bigger than Sean or David Cassidy, especially if you had a friend named Julie. That's probably like an inside thing that I don't understand. I'm sure that's like probably one of his songs or a Partridge Family like plotline or something. I'm sorry, Annie. I would love to run with that text, but I don't think I follow you on the friend named Julie thing. But Bobby Sherman recently passed away. Bobby Sherman. Thank you as always, Annie. From the 608. Then Mark from Paul R. And the Raiders. Now Kevin Costner, ND Mark Ruffalo. Does that make any sense to you, Con?
Kevin Costner and Mark Ruffalo? Maybe forgot the A?
But it's capped. Like ND, like North Dakota. I don't know.
Well, Mark Ruffalo is from 608. North Dakota.
No, he's not. But give us some clarification if you would, if you're still listening. I'm sorry, we just didn't quite get that. Jim from Appleton says, Charlie's Angels was my poster. Kate Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, and Jacqueline Smith. The heavy three. There you go. Some heavy hitters from the 70s. Thank you, Jim. I knew somebody. That's the second one. Second text we got for the Charlie's Angels posters, though. Ollie, we talked to Ollie. Bridget from the 818 says, The Outsiders. My mom framed it for me. See, that's the difference between girls and guys. My dad never would have framed a Farrah Fawcett poster or Daisy Duke, Catherine Bach. That would have like encouraged nefarious behavior or something. He would have thought he was condoning my crushes on TV idols. Thank you, Bridget. Ross from the 608 says, Lon Chaney, Werewolf, and a Yes Songs album cover poster. Well done, Ross. Very nice. Lon Chaney. I didn't know they had a Lon Chaney poster. And our buddy Chris Casper in the 608. Pete, we're in a fight. How are those Cubs doing? I'm not fighting Chris Casper. He's like twice my size. I think, you know what though? I think I could take him, Con. I hit him fast and I'd hit him low. Don't underestimate me, dude. Don't let the collared shirts fool you. I can throw down.
You are a mountain of muscle compared.
Guy, I'm a mountain of muscle. That's true. Casper says, Skull.
Yeah.
He's a big Viking fan.
We don't have to do that.
So he's with you on the Brewers. He's giving me a hard time about the Cubs earlier. But listen, I'm not a Brewer hater. If they weren't in a neck and neck thing with the Cubs here, I'd probably cheer for them. But like, and I'm being serious when I say this, for them to sustain what they're doing is going to be very tough. But the Cubs could have a fall off too. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but it's fun. Yeah. It's fun at this time of year to have a race. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is when I get into it, the baseball season. folks, thank you for your text. Thank you to Ben Reiser for being on the show tonight. And the always funny Kristen Leidy too. Great guest tonight and great text. Everybody brought it with the poster question. Tomorrow night on the show, we've got our pal Frank Anderson from WisconsinOlogy.com. He is also a writer, producer, director. He is a showbiz renaissance man, ladies and gentlemen. Frank will be here tomorrow at 6:35. We're going to talk about the Davy Crockett's connection to Wisconsin. That's one of the many things I'm going to ask Frank about. And then, Conrad, you know who's coming at 7:35 in person, in the flesh.
Kaylin Cole.
And we are getting a sneak peek of her new song, a sneak listen, I should say. Her new song drops in 2 days. We're getting a sneak peek tomorrow, a sneak listen tomorrow. That'll be fun. That's all on Nightlight here, live from Madison. Conrad will still be in Green Bay. Lots of fun still to come this week. So don't go away. Tune in every night and be part of the show. Always more fun when you guys participate. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, hey, are you going out? Are you coming down to Madison?
No, I'm going
right now.
I'm going home. Eating some food and then watching some TV.
These guys are all going to be drunk, and I'm going to be drinking club soda. You know how many of those it takes to get drunk?
A lot.
A ton. All right. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's trumpeting a new tariff agreement.
I just signed the largest trade deal in history. I think maybe the largest deal in history with Japan.
The U.S. will impose 15% tariffs and open its country to American cars, trucks, and rice. Lots of Americans still trapped under a stifling heat dome. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
The heat dome itself is now sitting over the Mississippi Valley, expanding into the Ohio Valley, and will reach the eastern United States by the second half of this week.
The heat index in Chicago expected to hit up to 103 today and 106 tomorrow. Thunderstorms in the core forecast there for Friday. Get ready to pay more to satisfy your sweet tooth. CBS's Jesse Mitchell explains.
Hershey announced it's raising prices on its chocolate products in response to rising cocoa costs globally. The company says customers should expect a low double-digit increase in the coming months.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.